Southside Broadcasting, Channel 1 for Hospedia, and we apologise to listeners on Hospedia who might have been suffering from crackles on the line we heard from the Hospedia area. Actually, if you've still got crackles on the line, don't worry, it's being handled, we'll be looking it through. If not, you can always go to our website address, southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. In the studio today, we've got three fabulous souls. We have got honours graduate from the University of Teesside, of course, in multimedia journalism. That would be Kayleigh Carr. How are you, Kayleigh?
I'm good, thank you.
Hurrah! And we've also got the wonderful author extraordinaire and indeed host of Adult Book of the Month. That's not in a saucy sense, but it is, of course, Jenny Finch. How are you, Jenny?
I'm fine, thank you.
And we've got the lady who is responsible for really co-founding the Book of the Month in the first place. She hosts the Young Person's Book of the Month still and does fantastic work there. And because it's the school holiday, she's with us again. It's Jill Appleton. How are you, Jill?
I'm fine. Glad to be back.
And online, keeping the energy levels just going through the roof, fresh from the first ever Farmers on Film Festival at the Nantwich Cheese Festival, the biggest cheese celebration the country's ever known. We have the amazingly talented staff at Gillette. That is Sarah Gayton. How are you, Sarah?
Hey, good morning, Lincolnshire.
Except we're in Teesside. Don't worry.
Oh, well, we're on Teesside.
These things happen, you know, geography. At least we're in the same country. That's the important side of things. So, Sarah, moving on, just share with us, how did the event go? Because obviously we were very sad we didn't actually manage to get there ourselves to cover the event, but I gather that it went simply splendidly.
Oh, Alex, it was absolutely stunning. There was so much energy in the audience and so much energy and excitement with the actual presenters. Everybody came with like a human story. Everybody came to tell them why they were involved with film, social media, and it was just exciting. The ideas, people linking, people talking together, sharing experiences, it just created this massive sort of buzz to take the idea forward.
So share with us once again, what is this idea? Because I suspect, Jenny, you might not know what this idea is.
Absolutely. But I want to.
Yeah, Jill, do you know what this idea is?
No, I'm interested to find out.
Kayleigh, you kind of might just know what this idea is.
Might I?
But she might not. So, short-term memory, she's graduate, you know, what can we say? So go on, Sarah, share with us this thing which goes back to before the 2012 Olympic Games, and Lord knows Lord Co. He actually sort of appreciates the work you've been putting into this and more. How has it gradually developed?
Well, it's simple, basically. About in 2010, I had this sort of crazy idea to get my OT biscuits into the Olympics. And during that process, I found out that the British Olympic Committee, their food policy basically stated that it was the British food that they wanted to showcase at the Games. So I thought, oh, that's just such a stunning idea. So then I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just get some short films of all the different farmers from across the UK onto those big screens? Because could you imagine the excitement and the buzz in the whole UK if these farmers got 3, 4, 5 seconds of fame on these big screens? So I went on this crazy mission to start filming farmers, get them onto YouTube, get them onto Facebook, then onto Twitter to show that this little concept could work. So as time progressed, we did positively influence the Olympic Committee because they thought the idea was absolutely brilliant. Staffordshire University came out and did the films of the farmers, so we actually proved that this idea would work. And they won a podium award. So the Olympic Committee and the judges said, wow, this concept is brilliant. We love it. As the time went on, we also thought, you know what, we could actually use these little films, link them to the social media, link them to a QR code or augmented reality where it's very simply you point your phone at a QR code or a picture and that film will pop up on your phone. So instantly you can link the farmer to the general public to see where the food comes from and who's producing it, basically. Because what we found is that these farmers, the true passion, the pride, the history and the heritage, it doesn't take them long to bring that over to camera, and they're such natural characters that people are really sort of endearing and engaging towards them.
That sounds absolutely wonderful, and indeed has been. And Jenny, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a terrific idea, and I love the way it brings together some of the newest technology with one of the oldest professions in Britain. I think it's brilliant.
Precisely.
Jenny, that is stunning, because that's what we were saying right from the beginning. It takes, again, the most historic, oldest profession in the world, linking it in this way with the modern technology and relinking the public back to where their food's produced. So I love you.
Thank you.
We probably use it as a quote here from award-winning author Jenny Finch, creator of the Elverman and soon to be the Mothman. Jill, your thoughts?
Well, I think it's really interesting, but you know what? A few months ago, I saw a film that was made years and years and years ago, and it was made by a farmer, and he was relocating his whole farm from Stokesley in the northeast to the down south, and he put it all on film, and it was something from the 1960s, I think. But we all enjoyed watching it, and it was really interesting, so I think that this is a great idea.
Well, could I ask a massive favour? Would you be able to tell me the details of that? Because we've had stunning news. The International Cheese Awards loved the event so much, they said we can go back in 2015, and I think we will be playing out more films. So if you could link me to that, we could potentially share it at next year's event.
All right, yes, I will do.
We always see success after success, which is great stuff. Now, Sarah, you've got a fabulous soul from the Antipodes joining us today, Fiona Lake. Would you like to just introduce Fiona and share why she was actually over with the Farmers on Film event and obviously the Nantwich Cheese Festival herself?
Ah, definitely. Well, Fiona and I connected on Twitter a couple of years ago when we did the film about using augmented reality to link the producer with the public. And Fiona was one of the first ladies, the first person in the world to start blogging about Farmers on Film. And I tell you what, Alex, I think we spoke about it on your show, to be honest. I was that inspired that somebody from the other side of the world would actually think this was a good idea and talk about Staffordshire. She then sent me two of her books. They were absolutely stunning portrayal of the life in the outback with the huge cattle stations out there. And we've just connected, so when this all got going, I said, Fiona, would you please be a judge of the social media competition of Farmers on Film? And she just said yes. And then it all came together, and she said she'd come over and support. And she was a stunning speaker at the event. And I think I'd just better pass her over now, because she's she's waiting here very patiently.
That makes perfect sense. So, Fiona Lake, welcome to the Southside Special that we've put together here, a pre-Book of the Month event here at Southside. How are you keeping, Fiona?
Oh, good, thank you. How are you this morning?
Very well indeed. Which part of Australia are you from?
I actually grew up in southern Australia, but now I live in the north, in the tropics.
No.
In North Queensland.
Now, there are those of us who remember the classic Hugh Jackman, Nicole Kidman movie, Australia, of course, directed by Baz Luhrmann. Some people actually say it's the worst thing which you've ever seen ever, including Nicole Kidman's attempts at doing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. But it was dealing with farming and the droving setup. I mean, clearly farming in Australia, it's big business.
Yes, and actually the film did come in for a panning, but... Actually, a lot of the details in the film were very, very accurate. They did put a lot of work into getting the details correct, so I could sort of see both sides of...
Well, thank you, Fiona, because I've been almost fighting a one-person campaign over the years to say, look, give Australia a second chance. Not the country, obviously, it doesn't need it. But in terms of the Baz Luhrmann movie, I didn't think it was that bad. You know, I think it's worthwhile. So I just wanted to sort of set our scene from that point of view. We've already heard the story from Sarah about how you connected with, obviously, the Farmers on Film piece via the magic of Twitter and so on. What are your thoughts on the first ever Farmers on Film Festival?
Oh, well, I enjoyed it. It was immensely enjoyable to meet other people who, most of the people who were attracted to it, it dawned on me, were like-minded people in that they're passionate about what they do. They're not... primarily money-driven, although we've all got to make money in order to eat, of course, but there's a sort of people who will take risks and run with something early on, where a lot of other people might sort of hang back a bit and wait until they think it's a...
I don't think Sarah Gayton hangs back, actually. She dives straight in with all four limbs.
Well, we're all sort of the same in that department. Everybody involved are all the sort of people who will dive straight in rather than hang back and wait until, you know, everybody else has got on board and then try and jump on the bus.
Well, you know, it's not jumping on the bandwagon. It's outrageous. Jenny, thoughts or questions for Fiona?
Ooh. What do you do in Australia? Are you involved directly with farming?
Mm. Yes, Fiona. What do you do in Australia?
I grew up on a farm. I actually now live in town. I've lived and worked across about 20 places, actually, in total across eastern Australia on farms of varying kinds, from huge to what in Australian terms is smaller, like 3,000 acres up to a million acres. And I'm a photographer who specialises in agriculture, and I produce books of my photographs, and I travel around taking photographs and writing about agriculture.
Now, as we said, Fiona, we obviously are running later on in the show another show called Book of the Month. And in fact, Jill Appleton, when she used to be in Jenny's position at Book of the Month, I recall, Jill, you once had a photo book that we selected from views of the teas and the local area,
yes,
did we not?
Yes, we did. Yeah. And I think it got very good reviews.
Got very good. So I think a challenge is emerging here, Fiona. Would you actually sort of think we should be looking at reviewing some of your fabulous books as well?
Yes, well, it'll certainly be a bit different. I mean, I've always aimed to produce something a bit different that other people aren't doing, and it's probably the same world over that a lot of the things that are written about agriculture are written by people who don't necessarily have much of an agricultural knowledge themselves. And in Australia, it got really annoying for me because you'd see photographs running in the front page of capital city newspapers with bony old cows. You know, because they didn't realise that they don't realise what's a good type of cow and what's a fairly poor sort, etc. So the representation was actually fairly poor quality. So I set out to do my own little bit to try and rectify that.
One of the things we always like to feature when we cover the Great Yorkshire Show, or indeed various other agricultural shows with our colleague Lou Bevin, is to actually note the difference between dairy cattle and beef cattle. It's all to do with their rear ends. You know, one's triangular shaped, one's less so.
Yes. Ah, look, and it's quite tricky here, of course, because you've got the breeds that are sort of, you know, more dual-purpose breeds. In Australia, you don't sort of get that. But the Farmers on Film project really showed... and continues to show the similarities as well as the differences between farming in different areas, because farmers worldwide really have more in common than they have differences. And so wherever they go, they tend to get along. I was on a farm tour yesterday with 20 people who met 10 locals here, and it was amazing how they could just start up a conversation and chat away as if, you know, they've known one another a long time.
We're currently looking at fionalake.com, which is the Australian Outback's largest cattle selection, a whole range of things there. Some of these photographs are absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I think it's fair to say.
Oh,
Jill,
yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah.
It's pretty good, Jenny.
Yeah.
And Kaylee, you'd agree with that. I mean, it's just,
that's
just
lovely.
Working through also, they're looking at a range of cattle ranching things. And there is a sort of kind of Western theme, but all sorts of other areas there. In terms of the capturing that image, I mean, that magical moment, was that a gift that you have always had, Fiona, or is it something you actually trained and developed?
I've always liked photography, and I've always liked good design, and I suppose I'm really fussy with the details. In fact, I've had rocks thrown at me for being one of those fussy people who knows.
I've had rocks thrown at you? What are you, paparazzi?
Well, you know, I'm quite fussy with details, but to me, you know, I'm not interested in just making pretty pictures. I like them to have a purpose. Mm. And I like to produce images that are thought-provoking and that have some effect on people. Basically, it's a fail. If I produce a photo that people just, you know, look at as if it's wallpaper, then for me that's a failure, because you want them to feel, you know, angry, happy, sad, whatever. And so that's what you aim for. And it's like anything, you know, it's lots and lots of practice and lots of grind, because most of those photos are taken on a horse or from a helicopter. And flying around in a helicopter all day might sound like fun, but when it's 40 degrees and you're getting sunburnt and whatever, it's not quite as...
Fiona, what you've accurately summed up there is the sort of things Kaylee must be prepared to do, having recently graduated from the University of Teesside in multimedia journalism. This is the thing that Jenny was explaining in terms of, you know, get up in that helicopter and go with it.
It was, yeah.
Questions from yourself? Any thoughts of Fiona? Kaylee's gone quiet again. It's all right. Jill?
Are these farmers on film then? Are these farmers from all over the world?
They are, yes. Because Sarah started locally and then just expanded it. Because on Twitter, there's probably the best of any industry I can think of. I think agriculture has by far the strongest and most growing network. Because as I mentioned, farmers can across anywhere on the world, if they're a grain grower, doesn't matter where they live, they can yap all day about machinery and pests and diseases and headaches and, you know, price per tonne, etc., etc. So it just sort of expanded any corner of the world, and people are hoeing in. And the agricultural network on Twitter is really growing, which I love the fact that that's happening, because There is a bit of a misconception that farming can be, or farmers can be quite conservative. And of course there are those that run away screaming when you mention social media, but increasing numbers are taking the plunge and giving it a burl and really, really loving it.
And that is one of the reasons, Fiona, why we have a rural theme very much to both Southside Broadcasting and indeed Siren FM as far as the Midweek Drive is actually concerned. Certainly, I think A Life as an Australian Horseman or A Million Acre Masterpiece are two of the sort of things I'll certainly put on my Christmas wish list from that perspective. So great stuff there. You sail as well from that point of view. Jenny, any questions for Fiona from yourself?
Have you got a project that you're working on at the moment?
Actually, Sarah is a bit the same. I noticed, because I've been staying with Sarah a couple of days, and Sarah...
Has she fed you oaty biscuits?
I fed myself oaty biscuits, I'm afraid to say. I love oats. But, no, she has lots of ideas, and so do I. I often describe my ideas as like rats running around in a cage, and my problem is that I'm often trying to do too many things at once. But I do have a few ideas for more books that I'd like to do. But books, of course, are very time-consuming, but... So it's just a matter of which one I decide to actually run with.
Hmm. You could do a year in the life of Sarah Gayton. That would be quite interesting.
I don't think anyone could keep up.
It's true. Fiona, listen, it's been fabulous touching base with a good self, and I do sense that when you're back in Australia, you might become a semi-regular contributor to our Midweek Drive morning edition, which would probably be late afternoon in Australia, but about 8 a.m. in the morning as far as Lincoln's concerned. Would you be up for that?
Yes, I'd love to. Well, you can get it on... online, I imagine you can listen.
You
online.
Can indeed, yes. In fact, you know, it's Los Angeles and Sydney that some of our key audience listeners for that point of view. So it all works splendidly. You can even download it as a podcast. It doesn't frighten the farmers, honestly.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of bits of technology that I haven't delved into, and myself with Twitter, I was one of the people who hung back and was very sceptical, and now I'm like a one of those reformed people.
You're a Twittet personified.
I keep telling everybody they should be on Twitter. I drive people nuts, but anyway.
At Southside Broad Sea, if you wish to actually follow Southside Broadcasting. There we are, at Southside Broad Sea. Jenny, have you got a Twitter account?
I have, yes.
Are you going to share it?
Jenny Finch 1.
Marvellous. There is only, quite literally, Jenny
there
Finch
is now.
1. Exactly, that's great. Fiona, fantastic speaking with your good self. We will certainly speak again if that's okay. Can you pop Sarah back online and we'll sort of wrap up this little sequence at present?
Thank you very much.
Cheers now. And a reminder, of course, it's fionalake.com if you want to go online to check out some of the literally amazingly wonderful pieces of artwork there. I would use the phrase stunning, but it's kind of copyrighted to Sarah Gayton when she uses that the S word. Isn't that right, Sarah?
I tell you what, they're absolutely stunning. Not just stunning, double stunning.
Yeah, I mean, particularly one of them. In fact, they all have a magical broad screen effect. In fact, they almost need to be seen in broad screen, in widescreen, to actually sort of appreciate them in every sense of the word. Okay, Kayleigh Carr has spoken to your good self before, and I know you were very keen on saying, look, there are farmers in the northeast, and you should be following that through. So what can Kayleigh, given that she's in that hiatus period now between she's got her first degree, she's wrapped that up, she's got a 2-1, so, you know, she's proudly parading through the streets of Sunderland, so with that. But I think it's fair to say, Kayleigh, you're looking for you know, obviously other opportunities than the current sort of retail work you're involved with.
I am, yeah, definitely. Just...
So,
Kayleigh, I'm going to send you a film that Elliot Grove did for us for the film festival. I want you to listen, I want you to watch it, and I want you to be inspired by it, and just go out there and start making films of the North East farmers. Next year there's going to be more categories for farmers on film, and I would love you to put an entry in it. I'd love you to be inspired with what we've done, what we've achieved, and just go and start filming, documenting about your absolutely stunning farmers up there. I studied in Sunderland probably too many years ago.
Oh, it wasn't that. It was just the last century, Sarah. Don't worry.
And this is, the whole thinking behind it is from what I did in Sunderland Polytechnic.
That was a long time ago.
Exactly, yeah. But it's about what we've all learned, what we've been inspired by, and turning what we learn into something in that the general public can understand very easily. And I know that the farmers up there are absolutely stunning. So would you take the first challenge on for the for a film to be entered in next year's competition, please?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That sounds great, yeah.
Brilliant. And can I ask another big favour?
Yeah.
Could you also make a documentary on how you actually go about this, starting from today with this interview? And we'll play that out as well.
All right, yeah, great. Sounds great. No. Thank you.
We can partially supervise it as well, Sarah, so all's well with that. You'll send the email. So there we are. See, it's an opportunity.
Oh,
you
know, no.
Got to get your camera for all the rest of the bits and pieces there. Sarah, it's been fantastic touching base with your good self as ever. We're going to be finding out about a new study which suggests that most of us in the UK actually have 64 friends today, but that peaks at 80 when we're, peaks at 80 before we're 30. Dr. Harry Witchell, who got his PhD at the University of California at Berkeley, will be sharing some thoughts with us on that. But the two final questions for you are, and I think you can take this for Fiona as well, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
Absolutely stunning.
And are you up for joining us again in the very near future?
Oh, definitely. Can I just say one other thing?
Of course.
I completely forgot. Carla, we have got this opportunity.
Kaylee, it's Kaylee. Don't worry, it's Kaylee.
Oh, Kaylee, sorry. I am still so sleepy. I just don't know what's up with me today.
It's party time after. I mean, all that cheese. All that cheese in Nantwich, you know. Yeah.
We have an opportunity with Elliot Grove. He's giving us a 90-minute webinar for farmers to watch to inspire them, also picking up cameras. So if you could go out and try and find the farmers in the northeast to actually work through this seminar with Elliot and with yourself. And also, again, you could probably document if they actually take his challenge on to go and start filming. I think that would absolutely be inspirational too.
So there we are, Kylie. Things to do. Occupy.
It is, all the rest of this piece
before you head off to Lake Como in Italy for a wee while. And then back in sorting through all the other marvellous things there. Brilliant stuff there. And if you're listening to this and you want to get involved with Farmers on Film, obviously you can go into that wonderful web setup and type in Farmers on Film. You get heaps of good stuff coming through there. And Sarah, we will be heading over to Staffordshire very shortly because I was talking again during the week with colleagues. So we will be making our way over there. And now we've officially designated Kaylee Carr as the Farmers on Film correspondent for the Sunderland North East of England area. I think she can get on the case, really.
Tell you what, that's so exciting.
It's a stage further forward, Sarah Gain and Fiona Lake. We'll see you again very soon.
Thank you very much.
With a high-spec accommodation, all with ensuite facilities and high-quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential nursing and dementia service users, offering both short and long-stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or email us at roseville@prestigegroup.uk.com.
Roseville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Not that you'd wish to run away if your boss was your best friend. Yes, astoundingly, a recent survey that's suggesting that ultimately it's a case of Britons having best friends at work as opposed to other relationships in other parts of the world, or other parts of their life. To address this particular study, we're delighted to welcome a gentleman who's currently based at the Brighton and Sussex Medical School. He's discipline leader in physiology there. He has his PhD in physiology from the University of California at Berkeley. We're delighted to be able to welcome Dr. Harry Witchell. How are you, Dr. Harry?
Hi, Alex. Good morning.
Excellent. Good to hear your dulcet tones on full force there, actually. So this particular story, is this the case? Are we likely to actually find our relationships more at work than any other part of our experience?
Well, the nature of friendship has gone through many changes just in our lifetime. And because genius gluten-free, friendlier pop-up cafes are being launched at lunchtime, I worked with them to gather clear data to show how friendship has changed, particularly whether people rely on the workforce for friendship, and to know how important it is to join friends from work during the working lunch. And what we found is that the average British person today has 64 friends, and most are made at work. Now, that's three times as many friends as measured in the 1980s, and far more than what we could have expected in, say, an agricultural society in 150 years ago. Over a third of people surveyed had more in common with colleagues than with friends and family, and believe it or not, people are more likely to meet their best friend at work, that's 18%, than at college or university, which was 13%.
So in the studio at present, we've got a writer, Jenny Finch. Jenny, obviously that's a solitary perception. So when you were an academic, did you sort of think best friends from work?
I have one best friend from work, but absolutely not my boss, I'm afraid.
Right, so the best friend being your boss is perhaps stretching it too far.
Just a little,
on basis. Yes. That's okay. Jill? Jill Appleton, any sort of thoughts for yourself? Where would you say? Best friends at work?
I've had lots of jobs over the years, and I've had some... I've got on well with my colleagues, but I wouldn't say any of them were my best friends.
So it's looking interesting here in terms of the survey, Harry. Are we a random selection here? And Rob Nichols?
Well, considering I work with myself...
Solitary environment. What about that?
But I would say, that what I do... the people that help me have all become my best close friends from having helped me. So I suppose it does kind of work in a way. Yeah, do a magazine and all the people that contribute become friends.
I was fascinated by the numbers that come out of this survey, Harry, if we may. I mean, this notion that the average Brit today has 64 chums, 64 mates, but actually it peaks at 80 before you get to 30. Is it all downhill after that?
I'm afraid it might be. So when we talk about friendships, I mean, it was quite interesting, some of the things that both Jenny and Rob said. So Rob reported that there was this thing where he would make friends by being at work, and not necessarily friends with, and Jenny pointed out that it was not necessarily her boss who was her best friend. And one of the things that we found when surveying people is that there were commonalities that caused them to become friends. And one of those commonalities that allowed people to be friends was actually criticizing their boss. So people would become closer to colleagues having a blended relationship by disagreeing with the boss in some way. Now, interesting, there was a difference between how men and women looked at friendship. So friendship is a very special relationship. It's about people being differentiating their, say, associations from just, say, an acquaintanceship to a friend. And one of the things that made friendship special was how people reinforced those relationships and how deep those relationships could be. So for women, often they described a friendship as something where a person couldn't be a friend until they had gone and had a conversation about intimate or personal details. That is, they were able to talk about things that they wouldn't be able to talk about with others. By contrast, men didn't say that. Often, on average, men described sharing activities as being the special thing that would allow a colleague or an acquaintance to be a friend. So the activity they most commonly mentioned sharing was sharing a drink after work.
Which ties in neatly with, of course, Genius Gluten-Free and the launch of its pop-up friendlier cafes to actually sample some gluten-free lunches across the country in London, in Bristol, in Birmingham, Manchester, and, of course, Nottingham. So interesting branding there. Kayleigh, you've just graduated. So does what Dr. Harry Witchell said of this survey, what is revealed, does it resonate with yourself?
Personally, I think I've made more friends at university rather than the place where I work. I don't know if that's like because of an age difference with where I work now. There's a lot of people older than me rather than my age.
Is it the age thing as well? I mean, can Kayleigh look forward to having just sort of passed, what, 21, 22 now?
21, yeah.
21, so as she heads up to 30, it'll kind of peak, and then after that, it's all downhill.
Well, I would think, actually, it's an interesting point that Kayleigh's made, Alice, which is that she is, because she's only 21, she's still at the full flower of her friendships that have been made at university. And I think it does take longer to make friends at work, particularly to have all of those commonalities and share all of the experiences. That's probably why, at age 29, people reach their maximum friendship, because they've still maintained the university and formative friends from when they were younger, but they're also at the maximum of where their friendships would be based on work. Plainly, after that, people may lose track of their friends at university. They may actually change jobs. So it is interesting. I think for someone at Kayleigh's age, it's not surprising that she would have more friends from university, particularly because she's so close to that age where university is relevant, whereas the workplace, she's still getting, if you like, she's still installing herself fully.
Do you still have friends from Columbia University or Berkeley, or the University of California at Berkeley?
Interesting that you should say that. I definitely have three friends that I've maintained friendships with who are still in the United States from UC Berkeley. And I do have one old friend from Columbia whom I keep track of, but that's a very long time ago.
This is true. I find the same with my own time at King's College London. But there we are, on the Institute of Education. Best not speak about that at all. Life continues. Rob, any final thoughts from yourself in terms of this friendship study? Obviously wearing your hat in terms of the editor of the Fly Me to the Moon fanzine, building friends and forming friends, that's another shared experience.
Well, yeah, definitely. I've been lucky enough to the work that I do that, as I say, people contact me and then we become friends afterwards, so it maybe works back to front, but it's really good that I owe a lot of my friends to my work.
It's good to know that actually the boss and the friends can actually work together. And Jenny, you would say that although initially you were a bit panicked by this study because you thought if this was released too soon, people would actually say, no, if my only best friend is at work, that's it, it's all over.
They'll be flinging themselves off the rooftops.
Hurling themselves off the rooftops, so it could be dangerous all sorts of ways. But a fascinating routine. Dr. Harry Witchell, we appreciate your time with us today. Have you had a reasonably interesting and hopefully fairly friendly chat with us today?
I have, and if your listeners want to know more, they can go to geniusglutenfree.com to find out more about the study.
Excellent stuff. So I take it then we might be able to catch up with you again in the not-too-distant future?
Cheers. I'd love to. Thanks very much, Alex. Bye.